You slept through your alarm, missed the train, and your breakfast sandwich
ugh.
Cold. Sounds like you could use some luck.
I'm Victoria Cash, and Lucky Land is where people go every day to get lucky. At Lucky Land, you can play over 100 casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Go to LuckyLandSlots.com and get lucky today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Hi, this is Stacy from The Advisor, and today I have a very special guest. He's back on our show, and I'm so excited to have him. His name is Danny Carroll, and he is an expert in terminal illness, and he's written many books, and he is on his way to writing a series of 500 books. So I'm very excited to have him on the show, and he's going to talk about his latest books, and we're going to briefly cover his first book that he's written. And I'm, you know, before we begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to DMA World. They are marketing consultant people who work to help small businesses become big businesses. They believe that little businesses shouldn't be scammed by big marketing companies. And they believe that they could help companies, small businesses grow to become large profitable companies. So try out dmaworld.com, a marketing consultant agency who cares about the little people. So Danny, tell me a little about, you know, we talked about your first book, and, you know, it was very interesting because it was about cancer, and we got really deep into talking about cancer. And, you know, I'd love to also, you came out recently with a book about breast cancer. And since this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I'd love to tap into that a little too. But before we begin, why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself and who you are and what you do? And I, you know, I'm very excited to have this conversation with you.
Hey, well, thank you, Stacey. It's a pleasure to be back on your show again. Brief background. I've spent the last nearly two decades researching cancer. I started, I think, in 2004 or 2005. I'm not a doctor. Don't hold it against me, but I'm a lawyer by profession or by education and by profession. I've spent my life in venture capital and asset management and other business related activities. My research on cancer was triggered by an unfortunate incident where I had a friend who was diagnosed with cancer, and I funded her treatment and ensured her compliance. And she died within three rounds of chemotherapy. So I committed at the time that I would find a better solution to the health problem that we know as cancer. This is my published book on Amazon. It's titled Terminal Cancer is a Misdiagnosis. This is targeted primarily at terminally ill cancer patients. I have spent the last 8 years helping many people who had been given a terminal diagnosis and sent home to die by medical doctors to fully recover their health. I'm not a doctor, right? And I'm not a magician either. I don't have a magic wand. The fundamental approach that I take is exactly the same. In business, we're taught on day one that you can only ever solve a problem by addressing the cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. You can never solve a problem by addressing the symptom of the problem.
Right.
Now, in the near two decades of medical research that I've done, what I discovered is that, and whilst it's commonly known that conventional medicine is a system of symptomatic treatment, mm-hmm. What is not commonly known is that all forms of established alternative medicine are also forms of symptomatic treatment. Mm-hmm. So all of our established treatment protocols basically are systems of treating symptoms. Now, when I started my journey, whatever, 18 years ago, to try and find the solution for cancer, one of the key filters that I used to analyze different healing modalities was to explore whether it was a system of treating symptoms, mm-hmm. or whether it was a modality that identified the cause of the problem or not. And as I said, it was to my great surprise that all forms of alternative treatment, whether it's nutritional healing or whether it's things like the bark flower remedies, which is an English emotional healing system, homeopathy, Ayurveda, energy healing, acupuncture, chiropractors, they're all systems of symptomatic treatment.
Right.
So you mentioned breast cancer. So this is the first book I've written. This is based on the medical discoveries of a German medical doctor who was a specialist in cancer research. In medicine, he's called an internist. He was actually Germany's youngest person to ever qualify as a medical doctor.
Right.
So he was one of those extraordinarily sharp characters, sharpest tool in the kit. In 1978, at the point he was the head of cancer research in a gynecological oncology unit for a university in Germany. His 19-year-old son was shot and murdered. 2 months after his son died, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer, an aggressive form of testicular cancer called a testicular teratoma, with metastasis to the stomach. Now, at the time, he was given a 1% chance to survive. He survived that by, he had surgery, he had his testicle removed and part of his stomach. But he didn't have chemotherapy or radiation, which I understand many or most medical doctors do not. Mm-hmm. So when he survived, as the head of this gynecological cancer research unit, he was what he started doing was to interview the female cancer patients that he was working with, to see whether they'd gone through a similar type of emotional trauma or life crisis before they got cancer. And out of 200 women that he was working with, 200 had. And what he started at that point, Stacey, was he started putting these women into different categories. Okay. So women who'd had cervical cancer or uterine cancer or mammary gland or introductal breast cancer, he started pushing them into different categories of the type of cancer they had they had experienced. And what he started observing was that the women in the same category had all suffered from the same type of life crisis. Mm-hmm. Okay. So fast forward 39 years of cancer research working directly with over 50,000 cancer patients. And what this doctor concluded is that cancer, we think today that cancer is this disease that sort of spreads around your body. And what this doctor discovered is that, in fact, that is not correct. So in his case, by the time his son was murdered, he was in his late 40s. And then otherwise, he was a healthy guy. Right. And then his son gets murdered. And then 2 months later, he gets a testicular teratoma, a rare form of cancer on his testicle. Now, he couldn't, his original impetus to start this process was that he couldn't believe the coincidence between losing a child and then getting a cancer on a reproductive organ. And what he discovered after all of these years of research was that the tumor that came on his testicle actually had a biological function and a biological purpose. Okay, so the tumor on his testicle was actually designed to increase the size of his testicle so that he could increase his sperm and testosterone production. Mm-hmm. Which was designed biologically to give him a greater capacity to be able to get his wife pregnant, right, so that he could replace the child he just lost. Okay. Now, he didn't know this at the time. He was a traditional medical doctor, so he had the surgery, right? So once he understood the fundamental biological function and the biological purpose. And in many ways, even in conventional medicine, there's a lot of agreement on the fact that the tissue that's added to the testicle is functional tissue. So if you do research into a mainstream medicine website, and you can do any of them because they're all pretty much the same, you'll read, if you read up on a testicular teratoma, you'll read that they talk about the different germ layers that are in this tissue and that it's functional tissue. So in many ways, there's actually a lot of agreement in terms of the fact that this is functional tissue. Right. So when he understood the fundamental connection so his life crisis was the fact that his son was shot and murdered.
Right.
Okay. what he learned from that, and in his subsequent research, is that cancer that we think is this disease is actually a survival biological program. Okay. So in his case, his son was shot and murdered. Nature then increased the size of his testicles to increase his capacity to be able to get his wife pregnant, to replace that child he just lost. Okay, so the survival element in that particular program is basically that his son was murdered, and nature increased his capacity in order to be able to replace that lost child.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we're in Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Okay. So you mentioned at the beginning that I'm in the process of writing a 500 plus book series. That is absolutely correct. This book, Terminal Cancer is a Misdiagnosis, is an introduction to this medical doctor and to his medical discoveries and to the fundamentals of cancer being a survival biological program.
Right.
The plan going forward is that, so this is my book on breast cancer. I'm in the process of building a new natural healing media property called the Healing Tribune. And the tagline is "The Cause of Disease Made Simple."
Right.
Okay. So this is my book on breast cancer. This is available to read for free on my website, danny-carroll.com. In fact, all 500 of these books will all be available to read for free. I don't want ability to the financial means to be a barrier in the way for people to be able to access and read these often life-saving information. So this book is currently available for free on my website, and when I finish, there will be 500 plus books available, one on each disease, that you can read for free. Now, if you look at the female breast, okay, there are biologically there are two key elements to the female breast. So, being in Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we will talk about breast cancer in some detail. So, in the breast, the two main biological elements are the mammary gland, that is the milk producing part of the female breast, and then the milk ducts that connect the mammary glands through to the nipple in order to evacuate the milk from the breast. Okay, so let's start with the mammary glands. I mean, if we break it down in terms of the frequency of diagnosis, 80% of diagnosis is actually the milk duct. 20% of diagnosis is actually the mammary gland. But it's easier to understand the mammary gland, the biological purpose and function of it. We'll do the milk ducts after that, so you can understand how that works. It's a little more difficult in today's context to get your head around what affects a milk duct and why it behaves the way it does. So with the mammary gland, obviously the primary purpose of a mammary gland is to lactate, okay, to produce milk. The breast is a nurturing piece of equipment, although we've sort of lost touch with a lot of the fact that the breast is a nurturing piece of equipment, right? It's not a boy's toy, which most people seem today that that's his only real purpose, right? So a woman will only lactate either in the latter stages of pregnancy and when she starts nursing, right? Because the purpose of the breast is to breastfeed the child, right? To nurse the child. Now, what happens, Stacey, with the mammary gland is that once a mother stops nursing, then the mammary gland will dry up.
Right.
Okay? So you've stopped producing milk. As soon as you stop nursing, then the mammary gland will stop producing milk, essentially. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine a situation. You have a five-year-old child. You're walking down the street. You're with a friend. You're not paying attention. And your child pulls away from your hand and runs into the road and gets hit by a car. Okay? Equally could have been fell out of a tree or anything where the child gets badly injured. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, in the split second, as soon as the mother hears tires screeching and turns around and sees her child laying on the ground in the middle of the road, that event basically will trigger the brain. Crisis. We have a sick child, okay? And the brain will then trigger the mammary gland to say, crisis, we have a sick child. We need to nurse the child back to health again. And the brain will send a signal to the breast to reactivate the mammary gland in the breast so that the woman, the biological design of this process, so that the woman can start lactating again. The child's 5 years old, right? So she's not lactating anymore.
Okay? Right.
So she sees the child get hit by a car. She will immediately be traumatized by seeing her child laying in the road. Trauma will say, crisis, time to reactivate milk production. We need to nurse the child back to health again. So if you look at it in terms of the cause and the symptom,
right?
Okay, the child getting hit by the car and becoming injured and sick is the cause of the problem.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The processing happens in the brain, and the brain sends a signal to the breast, start milk production. Okay. Now, the breast is the output or the symptom of the problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, back to my applying the same rules and standards of problem solving in business into health. Okay. In business, we say you can never solve a problem by addressing the symptom.
Right.
You can only ever solve a problem by addressing the cause of the problem.
Right.
Okay. Now, the cause of the problem in this particular scenario is the child is now sick. The child got hit by a car. So the child getting hit by a car and now being sick is the cause of the problem.
Right.
Okay. The breast, the mammary gland in the breast being reactivated and feeling the lump in the breast almost as soon as the child gets hit by the car is the symptom of the problem.
Right.
Okay. So in our current modalities, conventional and alternative,
right,
we do not focus on solving, on understanding and solving the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is the child is sick. The purpose of the breast is it's a nurturing piece of equipment.
Right.
In a crisis, the woman's ability to lactate and offer a breast to a sick loved one will be reactivated in a crisis, so that the woman has the opportunity to be able to nurse the sick loved one to get them back to health again. Okay.
Right.
Now, this is the biological design. This has many, many effects, right? If you don't nurse, then you're not evacuating the milk from the breast, and then the breast becomes swollen. So just evacuating the milk from the breast, if nothing else, from the woman's perspective, helps to take the inflammation and the pressure out of the breast, because you're evacuating the milk that's building up in the mammary glands, right? Because that's the design. It's supposed to be offering the breast to the sick loved one, right? But of course, we've lost all ability to understand in today's society the concept of the breast being a nurturing equipment. And okay, we some people may still breastfeed when they have a baby, right? But the idea of breastfeeding a 5-year-old, or I mean, you can even have in our biology, we have, depending on which way your brain is wired, we have one side of our body that gets affected by conflicts with our mother and our children.
Yeah.
And then the other side of the body gets affected by everybody else, right? So if that could be the child getting hit by a car, which can activate the mammary glands in the breast, it can equally be a partner, your husband or your father or your mother, that can get sick, that can also trigger the mammary gland in the other breast.
Right.
Okay. So the idea of breastfeeding your father or breastfeeding your husband in today's society is an absurd suggestion. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that is the biological design. Okay. Now, nature has reactivated a woman's ability to lactate. And what do we do in today's treatment protocols? Well, if she goes to conventional medicine, and they will remove the breast, right?
Right.
Stupid number one, right? I mean, because now she can't breastfeed the child, right? Because she's had a breast removed. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then she'll go on chemotherapy and radiation and stupid number two, right? And stupid number three. I mean, and unless and until that child is still sick, this biological program is going to run.
Right.
Okay? Now, it doesn't matter, Stacey, whether you have the breast removed or not, right?
Right.
It makes no difference, because unless and until that child is still unwell, in conventional medicine, we have a concept called recurrent breast cancer. And right. That's where a woman gets breast cancer on a breast that's been mm-hmm. removed. Okay. And then right. the doctors will say, oh, there must have been some cells floating around, or we didn't get everything and all of it. It's nothing like that. I mean, let's use an extreme example. There's a concept in conventional medicine called phantom limb pain. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's say I have gangrene in my foot, right?
Right.
And I have my leg amputated, right? Phantom limb pain is where you still feel pain in right. an organ when it's no longer there. Okay. So right. I have my leg amputated because I've got gangrene in my foot. And mm-hmm. after I have my leg amputated, I still feel the pain in the foot that is mm-hmm. no longer there.
Right.
Okay. The same with breast cancer. I have a mastectomy. I have my breast removed. And then recurrent breast cancer is when I have cancer on a breast that's no longer there.
Right.
Okay. Same thing. I get pain in a foot on a leg that's been amputated that's no longer there. And it can be the same if you have IBS or ulcerative colitis and you have your colon removed.
Yeah.
Even though you have your colon removed, you will still experience colon cramps, even though you no longer have a colon.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it doesn't make any difference whether the organ is still there or not. The biological program does not run in the organ.
Yeah.
The biological program runs in your brain.
Right.
Okay. So the child gets hit by the car. The trauma hits the brain. The brain is the control center. Okay. So the brain will then trigger the breast to right. reactivate. Okay. You mm-hmm. remove the breast. The brain is still triggering the breast, right? So this recurrent right. breast damage, the brain doesn't care whether the organ is there or not.
Right. Okay?
You get pain. You get phantom limb pain. The leg's gone.
Yeah.
You're still getting the pain. You're getting the colon cramps. The colon's gone. You're still right. getting the colon. Having your organs removed makes zero difference because right. you can never solve a problem. The organ is the symptom of the problem.
Yes.
The organ is never the cause of the problem. The life crisis is the cause of the problem. And mm-hmm. when we go through a life crisis, the brain is the control center.
Okay? Right.
And the brain will make changes in our biology according to our survival biological program. So in the mammary gland breast cancer, the survival element of the program basically is to enable, in a crisis, the child's sick, right? The child's been hit by a car, the child's fallen out of a tree or whatever, fallen yeah. off the bike or whatever it is, okay? The child's sick. Okay, the mother is in crisis because she now has a sick child, and nature is gifting her the ability to be right. able to nurse that child back to health again. And yeah. in the same way,
it's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ah, the sizzle of McDonald's sausage. It's enough to make you crave your favorite breakfasts. Enough to head over to McDonald's. Enough to make you really wish this commercial were scratch and sniff.
And if you're a sausage person, now get two satisfyingly savory sausage McGriddles, sausage biscuits, or sausage burritos for just $3.33. Or mix and match. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
All of these biological programs operate in a very similar way. to a menstrual cycle, right? Mm-hmm. So in a menstrual cycle, in the first half of the cycle, tissue is added to the walls of the uterus in order to facilitate the pregnancy.
Yes.
Okay. If you don't get pregnant, then the tissue is removed with bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tissue's added, tissue's removed, tissue's added, tissue's removed. Now in the breast, when the crisis comes, a child gets sick, the tissue is added. Okay. Right. The tissue is added in order to give the woman the ability to lactate again.
Right.
When the child gets well again, then the tissue is removed. Okay. Right. And the tissue is removed with something that we call TB mycobacteria.
Right.
Okay. Which in today's world we think is a disease. It's not a disease, it's nature's way of removing that tissue in the same way the walls of the uterus you bleed if you don't get pregnant.
Right.
Okay. In the breast, the tissue is added. Once a child is well again, then the tissue is removed. Okay. Now, whilst that child is sick, if you have your breast removed, it makes no difference.
Right. Okay?
If you go on a vegan diet, it makes no difference.
Right.
Okay. If you have Laetril, vitamin C, you know, ozone injections, or you're going to any damn thing. Yeah? I mean, it makes no difference because the biological purpose of that program is to use the breast to get the child well again.
Right.
And unless and until that child recovers its health, the purpose of that biological program has not been achieved.
Yes.
So it will continue to run. When the mm-hmm. child gets well again, then in the same way, these programs, they don't run in your conscious mind, right? They run in your subconscious mind.
Right.
Okay. You don't sit there and think, oh, okay, I think I will reactivate my ability to lactate in my breast so I can nurse my child back to health. You don't think that, right? I mean, these are survival biological programs that
right.
have evolved over millions of years of our existence, right? And yeah. I mean, it's really funny. I mean, if you know, we can see nature's survival biological programs in every element of our life, except for when it comes to our health, right? I mean, you know, if you go to a cold country, people there are going to be white. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't need dark skin to protect them from the sun.
Right. Okay?
If you mm-hmm. go to a hot country, you go to Europe, most people are white. You go to Africa, most people are black. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Why are they black? Because they're in a hot country. So nature has evolved in order to protect them in the environment that they live in.
Right.
Okay. I live in Bombay in India, right? I mean, if you go up to the mountains and up to the Himalayas where it's freezing cold, all of the street right. dogs all have long hair, right?
Yeah.
Because it's cold, right? So they have long yeah. hair.
Mm-hmm.
You come to Bombay and it's boiling hot and they all have really short hair, right? Because it's really hot. So nature continuously evolves in order to help us to survive in
yes.
the environment that we live in. And
yes.
the cancer program and what I mean in his lifetime this doctor basically unraveled the biological code and identified the life cause of every single change in our biology, from a runny nose to a sore throat to a
yeah.
cancer to a Parkinson's disease to a suicide constellation to a any damn thing, right? Everything. He unraveled entirely this survival. Once he understood the fundamentals, he understood how life crises trigger
yeah.
changes in our biology. Once he understood that, then he's essentially laid out, he's put together something called the scientific chart of Germanic New Medicine, where
right.
he's laid out the life cause and the solution to every single change in our biology, to every single cell in our body. It's quite an extraordinary body of work. Okay, so now let's try the milk ducts. On the milk ducts, So if you look at the purpose of the milk duct is there as a vessel, right? It's a vessel to help transport or evacuate the milk from the mammary gland to the nipple. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, the easiest way to understand this, because again, we're so out of context in today's society, it's very difficult for us to really get our head around what affects the milk duct. Okay.
Right.
So best way to understand this is to look at to look at nature, look at animals in nature. Okay.
Yes.
Now, if you take a you take a sheep, right? Mm-hmm. Sheep's got a lamb, and the fox comes along and steals the lamb, right? Takes the lamb away and eats it. Okay, now the mother has a problem. She has milk in her udder.
Right.
And no lamb to suckle that milk to evacuate the milk.
Right.
Okay. So what will happen in that particular experience is what she now needs, like at the moment her milk ducts are like straws.
Right.
Okay. Now she needs those milk ducts to be like a hose pipe. Why?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To let the milk drain from the udder so that the milk, because it will back up and explode, right? Because there's no lamb suckling the milk off the udder. And she's still lactating, right? So what nature does is it widens the milk duct in order to help the milk to evacuate in a situation where there is what we call a separation conflict.
Right.
Okay. When somebody essentially is torn from your breast.
Right.
What happens is the milk ducts ulcerate and go from being like a straw to being like a hose pipe because of the biological wiring that normally back in days gone by, I mean, women would pretty much be either pregnant or breastfeeding, you know, for 40, 50 years of their life, right? So they'd always be pregnant. Or for a lot of their life, they would be pregnant and breastfeeding.
Right.
So the widening of the milk ducts is designed to facilitate the evacuation of the milk from the breast when you have somebody who's torn from your breast. So in the sheep's case, the fox took the lamb, no more suckling of the udder in order to evacuate the milk, to stop the milk backing up. The milk duct is widened so that the milk can drain off naturally.
Right.
So, it's so funny, the parallels. I mean, the most experienced person at dealing with this problem in terms of both the cause of it and fixing it is a farmer, right? Because whether it's a sheep or whether it's a cow, whatever, predators will come in and take away their calves or their lambs or whatever. And what this doctor discovered, Stacey, is that the biological programs that run in human beings are exactly the same in human beings, in animals, and in plants.
Right.
Okay. So the same rules apply. So when the sheep has a lamb taken away, she'll have a separation conflict.
Right.
From that lamb, so the milk ducts will widen. Right now, when she gets pregnant again and she has another lamb, then she's got milk ducts that are like hose pipes, and now need to come back to being like a straw again.
Yeah.
Okay. So in order to facilitate that process of it going from a hose pipe to being like a straw again, the milk ducts, when she resolves that separation conflict.
Yeah.
Okay. By having another lamb, basically, what will happen is, based on laterality of the animal, one of the udders will basically become swollen, which is basically it's the healing process of the milk duct going from being like a hose pipe back to being like a straw again. So you get inflammation and swelling in the milk duct, which is why in intraductal breast cancer, you'll get swelling around the nipple and just above the above or below the nipple, because it's the milk duct that's swelling up. That swelling will start when you resolve your separation conflict. Okay, so now in Dr. Hummer's opinion, the swelling and the inflammation of a milk duct is no different to the swelling of the inflammation when you cut your finger, right? I mean, the definition of cancer is abnormally fast growing cells.
Right. Okay?
Now, in the mammary gland, you have abnormally fast growing cells, correct? Right. But the purpose of that is to facilitate the woman to lactate and be able to breastfeed the sick child.
Right. Okay? Right.
So doctors are correct. The cells are abnormally fast growing.
Right.
They think that they're abnormally fast growing because they're broken. Right. It's not the case. The problem with all of these modalities, conventional medicine and alternative medicine, is that basically doctors think those cells are broken.
Right.
Because they don't know the cause of the problem.
Right.
And they do not understand the biological purpose of the problem. Mm-hmm. When you understand the cause of the problem, that it was caused by the child getting hit by the car.
Right.
And you understand the biological purpose, which is to facilitate a mother to be able to lactate again in order to nurse a sick child back to health again. Then you realize that this is not a disease. This is just part of nature's extraordinary design.
Yes.
What happens, right? So whether even the person who goes to alternative medicine, they go on a vegan diet and whatever, right? Now they'll say, oh yeah, I healed my breast cancer with a vegan diet, right? Wrong.
Right.
You can do a vegan diet, you can do chemo, doing a vegan diet is by far a better option than having your breast removed and doing chemo and all of that, because the chances of dying are significantly less. Okay. So, but what people think is, they think, oh, I healed my breast cancer with a vegan diet. Not correct. That's correlation, not causation.
Right.
The child got well again. And if the child got well again, then the breast cancer is going to heal. Whether you do a vegan diet, you do, they have a mastectomy, you do chemotherapy, whatever, as soon as that child is well again, then the purpose of that biological program has been fulfilled.
Right.
And then the breast cancer will switch off, because the purpose of the program has been fulfilled. It has nothing to do with a vegan diet. It's nothing to do with the mastectomy or the chemotherapy or the whatever protocol you followed. There's no correlation at all.
I find this very, very intriguing, very, very informational. I'm very excited. I'm actually going to read the book, because I am very interested in finding out the solutions and learning more. Are there ways that we can prevent it, or is it tragedy that is the main trigger?
Number one, you cannot prevent it. And number two, you would not want to prevent it, because it's there designed for our survival. Mm-hmm. Nature wants us to survive, right? I mean, in Dr. Hummer's case, it increased his testicles so that he could have a better chance of replacing the child he just lost. That's the survival purpose in the mammary gland breast cancer. The purpose is to give the woman the ability to be able to nurse her child back to health again. I mean, you wouldn't want that to not happen, because it's no different to if you see a danger on the road ahead, what are you going to do? You'll put your foot on the brake, or you put your foot on the accelerator,
right?
In order to avoid the danger, right? So cancer is exactly the same. Yeah, I mean, it's you're putting your foot on the accelerator or the brake, in order to be able to better manage the danger that you're facing, right? So all nature is doing is adjusting to its environment, and an increasing and decreasing capacity of different organs based on headwinds or a crisis in life that you're facing, right? So you would not want that to not happen, because otherwise your chances of survival are much less. Right. And it's nature's design, right? I mean, and it's part of our evolutionary development over millions of years, and our continued evolutionary process, right? I mean,
yes. What about the toxicity in our society, or is that a totally different conversation? You know, all the different types of ingredients they put in the foods, the pollution that we're exposed to on a daily basis, the radiation of cell phones and microwaves, you know, those are, you know, components that can cause cancer. But is that totally in a different area than what we're speaking in? Is it, or can it help to try to do things, you know, naturally to help, you know, lessen the chances? Or is this just tragedy? We're focused on the outcome of what tragedy causes for cancer, in a sense. Do you know what I mean?
So in Dr. Hummer's medical discoveries, there are what he's called the five biological laws of nature. Mm-hmm. And the first biological law of Germanic healing knowledge is called the iron rule of cancer. And the iron rule of cancer is that cancer can only be caused by what Dr. Hummer described as a biological conflict shock, or what we know today as an emotional trauma or a life crisis.
Okay.
There is no second cause for cancer. No smoking, okay. No cell towers, no cell phones, no toxicity, no pesticides in our food. Now, these things can make you sick, right? I mean, if you take radiation, for example, radiation kills cells. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to have radiotherapy in your brains, then, you know, you're not going to get a good outcome because you're going to be killing your brains, right?
Right.
Same way, poisoning. I mean, we put chemotherapy inside our body, Stacey, right? Now, chemotherapy is what? I mean, it's essentially mustard gas, right? So
yes.
when we ingest these toxins, whether it's from medicine, chemotherapy, or whether it's from pesticides in food or whatever, okay, these things make us sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you try taking chemotherapy, okay, what your body is going to do is it's going to do everything it can in order to evacuate those poisons.
Right.
Okay? So you're going to start vomiting. You're going to have loose motions. You know, you're going to smell like a robot, right? Because it starts pushing it out through all the pores in your skin and your breath. You're going to have the metal taste in your mouth and all sorts of stuff, right? Because your body is desperately trying to get the poison out of the system. Why? Because nature wants us to survive, right? So all of these, is it better to eat organic than to eat GM? Of course, yeah. I mean, nature has a design. As soon as you start messing around with nature's design, I mean, you know, it has consequences, right? So,
right.
You know, is it ideal to not live on processed foods? Absolutely. I mean, to eat organic food? Absolutely. You know, I mean, but do these things cause cancer? No.
Right.
No relation. No relation.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Your book, we can find it on your website, correct? And can you just tell us your website again?
Yeah. So, this book, Terminal Cancers and Misdiagnosis, which is the best starting point because this is the introduction to these medical discoveries. So my name is Danny Carroll and my website address is danny-carroll.com, and Carroll is the Irish spelling. It's C-A-R-R-O-L-L. You see, my screen doesn't really allow to. This one is available on Amazon. Globally, and it's available in audio, Kindle, paperback, and in hardback. It's also available on my website. Mm-hmm. My book on breast cancer at the moment is only available on my website. And this is The Cause and Solution for Breast Cancer Revealed. So this takes you through the detail of the mammary glands and the milk ducts and what affects them and what causes it and how to fix it and all of the detail far beyond what we've discussed today is in this book with lots of case studies and stuff. All of these books are written so that anybody with a fifth standard education can read with no prior knowledge of the subject.
Right.
And read, understand, and absorb the information.
Right.
So this is the first book of a 500 plus book series. I'll be writing one book on every disease: brain cancer, lung cancer, testicular cancer, and also at the moment I've done IBS and ulcerative colitis. I've done testicular cancer, atopic dermatitis, and breast cancer. I'm writing one on lung cancer at the moment. And then I'm actually setting up a collaborative book writing community to bring in both writers, editors, and reviewers to help me. I mean, I'm very happy to write these books myself, right? But I can knock them out at a rate of one book a month.
Right.
That will, 12 books a year, that's going to take me sort of like 40 years to write them all. I mean, if that's required, I'm very happy to do that. I'm setting up a collaborative book writing community to try and get them written in less than 40 years. The problem with this medical science, Stacey, is that, I've been studying it for 11 years. And it takes considerable application of mind to be able to understand it. Mm-hmm. And what these books, if you've got breast cancer, you don't have time to spend 10 years studying these medical discoveries, right? What you need, this is a small little Reader's Digest. Each book is like 60, 80, maximum 100 pages long, right?
Right.
You can go in an hour, you can go in, understand the cause of the problem and how to fix it. And that's all you want to know. So what I'm doing is I'm writing these, as I say, at a fifth standard level. So anybody with no prior knowledge of medicine, no prior knowledge of this modality, can read it and understand it and can learn the cause of their own problem and how to fix it. That's the plan.
I think that's amazing. I commend you for all this. This is wonderful because, sometimes you go into the bookstores, you go on the internet, and everything's written in medical terminology. It goes right over your head. And, if you're not a doctor, the information is very hard to comprehend. And also they don't look at it from your standpoint, a lot of medical doctors have a totally different standpoint. It all really depends where you went to school and how you were taught. So many doctors have different opinions. So, it's nice to get a more holistic approach and to really look at it from a scientific point of view, but look at it and understand, and it helps you understand how the body really reacts and why it reacts the way it does. So, we could, have a clearer understanding why our body is doing what it's doing, and then figure out ways, that we could actually help ourselves and to actually find the solutions to better our bodies and better our health and, actually move forward and become healthy and actually, not have to suffer like we were previously suffering.
Absolutely. So, I mean, making these medical discoveries accessible is critical. And these books are not targeted at doctors, right? These books are targeted at average man in the street. And the idea is to make these medical discoveries accessible so that anybody with no knowledge of the subject, no knowledge of medicine, can pick them up and read them. And I need. So I'm in a process of setting up the tech for this platform.
Yes.
But ultimately, I need an army of people with no knowledge of subjects, right? Because I need people with no knowledge of the subject to be able to come in and read and say, "Oh, I didn't understand that." So then you've got to rewrite it again. put more case studies in, make put it in simpler English. We have to make sure that these books can be read by anybody with no knowledge.
Right.
And in order to do that, I need people with no knowledge to come in. They say, no, Danny, I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm starting an outreach process to start getting people into the community so that, I mean, they can learn as they go as well, right? I mean, you'll learn the cause of every disease known to man, right? But, you know, you can do it and write the books and then help to make these more accessible to the masses. That's the plan anyway. Let's see how it goes. It's early days, yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great plan, and I wish you the best of luck. And I'd love to have you on again because I'd love to talk about the other topics. You've covered quite a bit of topics already, and I'd love to have you back on so we could actually help educate others about other topics besides the ones we went over today and previously.
Pick your topics. Pick your topics. They're endless, Stacey. I mean, I'm looking on your bookshelf, right? I mean, you want to do epilepsy? We can cover epilepsy. You do any damn thing, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. And those are the reasons why I actually started writing. It was because I was very annoyed when I started going into the libraries and into, you know, and going on the internet and looking at the information that was there, you know, especially years ago. And the information is not meant for the average individual, you know, still, you know, you look up things and it's written in an abstract form and people have no clue what, you know, the message is, and you know, they're looking for specific things. They're just looking for simple answers and direction and guidance, and that's all they want. And it's important to make it accessible for these individuals so they could actually understand what's going on and then figure out how to deal with their condition and improve, you know, what they're going through so they can get through it, you know, and not have to suffer. So this is very important. This is definitely
exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd love to work with you on this. And this is great. And I commend you. And, you know, everybody, it's Danny-Carroll. And his website address is the same as his name. And you can see his name on the left-hand side, and it's .com. And, you know, please contact him and ask him about his community that he's putting together and how you could be of help, because this is an important topic and it could help many people, including yourself. So thank you very much, Danny, for all your information and all your help. I loved having you on again. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you so much.
God bless you having me on again. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you have a great day.
Same to you too. Thanks, Stacey.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shooting drills.
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve. But one who genuinely cares about each player.
You have what it takes. We got this.
Can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist. Leaders in banking. Unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit Truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.